Maestro Pierre Laurent Aimard, after so many successful concerts, recitals, and recordings from the 70s till now, how would you define your evolution as a musician, but also as a human being?
Well, I am the person who live this evolution and not define it. I don't know if I am able to find the words, and of course I try to think about it to know if I go in the right direction, but I can't judge it. Other people should do it. I've tried to do what I have defined as main line when I was young. That means to try to find the appropriate way, the sensible way to make the music. That means, you know, if you make anything in life, you can be taken all the time by the routine or by wrong traditions or wrong modernities or many illusions. And it is, I think, crucial to try to remain true with yourself and with what you believe in. And this remains, of course, because you remain yourself, but this changes because you adapt yourself to the world that is in permanent change. And this is very interesting because, of course, new events happen, new generations appear with new abilities, another point of view in the world, and then you have yourself to put yourself in question. And this is what I find interesting. This is why I still love very much to make music. I find it, well, even more interesting than ever. And, well, I try to go on this way.
Maestro Pierre Laurent Aimard, you've played Beethoven's Fifth Concerto 1,000 times. Do you still discover new meanings in the piece?
If a masterpiece is really rich from many layers and an extraordinary architecture and contains an extraordinary composed dramaturgy or somewhere conjunction of characters, then I think one discovers all the life long. And one discovers, I think, other ways or maybe better ways to give life to these characters, to these architectures, to this dramaturgy. So, yes, definitely, I find that one discovers and one learns all the time from masterpieces. Therefore, one doesn't get tired of most of them.
You've recorded Beethoven's piano concertos with Nicolaus Harnoncourt and the Chamber Orchestra of Europe at the invitation of Maestro Harnoncourt. How would you describe now, in 2015, your partnership with Harnoncourt?
This has been a completely unexpected, illuminating partnership, I must say. Mr. Harnoncourt heard me playing the piano and then proposed to me to make music with him. What has been an incredible enrichment to my musical life. What I find extraordinary with Mr. Harnoncourt is the mix of incredible knowledge and of freshness in the musical intuition. This mix, this endless passion for music that he has and endless commitment for music, but this extraordinary, knowledge and reflection, deep and original, are really amazing. And I think therefore Mr. Harnoncourt remains one of the big and main guides of our era.
You are a great supporter of contemporary music, from Pierre Boulez's works to Georg Ligeti to Tristan Murail and so on. How hard is, Maestro, to unveil the essence, the meanings of a modern composition?
As with Beethoven or Bach, and they have been contemporary in their times. I think one of the great joys we have if we deal with art is the discovery of other cultures, of other styles, of new styles or styles that we don't know. We learn from that, from the proposition, the way of feeling, of thinking, of projecting, of different creative genius. And in terms of new music, people who live in our era, absorb our era, and of course gives us answers on our era that help us profoundly to live in harmony with our era. And what I find great is that in any time you have people who has this power of creation, so that they, well, they are lights for our life. And, well, we try to discover their world and their language and to speak their language so that these new territories can become natural.
Yes. What is, in your vision, maestro, the essence of Ligeti's Musica Ricercata, and how do you prepare modern pieces?
Well, Musica Ricercata is a cycle of 11 pieces, and in each of the pieces, at a certain moment, the composer adds one note. He starts the first piece with a single A, and on the last bar finishes it with a D. So from one note, one went to two notes, etc.
Yes.
And the deal is always the moment in the piece where he brings the new sound that can be unexpected or at a strong organized moment, or it can be, well, like a joke or like a surprise. Well, it's always different because Mr. Ligeti has a lot of fantasy. Now, apart from that, it is also a set of pieces from great variety. But what I find interesting in this cycle is that though it is from the first period of Ligeti, at the moment when he didn't know the Western avant-garde and spoke in a very local language, let's say, even then he was extremely much himself, and there are some landmark gestures in this piece that will remain all his life long.
When did you felt, maestro, that you've discovered the truth, the meanings of music behind the notes?
Well, we hope that we achieve that sometimes. It is very clear very often that we don't. And then sometimes, yes, we are closer to a world because of our sensibility or because of our education. And, well, it seems that a language sounds more for us like a kind of mother language somewhere. I think it is like that in any territory of culture, of course. And I think the goal of an artistic life could be to try to learn new languages constantly so that we have more and more familiar styles in our life and we understand more and more pieces. But of course, it's an endless process.
You've been quoted as saying, "I am not a conductor and I will never be one. I wouldn't say I am a pianist. I am a musician and the piano happens to be my instrument. I don't like to have one function to give me just one perspective on music." What is your main purpose as a musician, Maestro Pierre-Laurent Aimard?
You know, it happens that music is one of the things in this life that is the strongest in my life. It gives me the deepest moments, it speaks to me, and it has an immense variety, so it's very nourishing somewhere. And I feel that when I play, when I listen to, when I teach, when I speak about music. So this is one of the things that really guides me and constructs my life somewhere. So I've learned to play the piano. I've learned also a little bit to play the flute, but very badly, very shortly, to sing. And I've made different activities as a musician. Playing the piano is certainly what I do the best, I think. But the piano playing is not a kind of formatted limiting specialization in my life. This is not as I see it. And anyway, you know, with the piano you can sing, you can be a percussion instrument,
yes.
You can be any kind,
yes.
you can product any kind of sounds. You can have sounds like electronic sounds and or like an orchestra. So it's a very flexible instrument. And of course, it invites us to be in contact with a full range of musical experiences.
How do you feel, maestro, in Bach's universe?
More and more attracted and nourished. You know, sincerely, I've been so impressed by Bach that I've not dared to touch it professionally until quite recently.
For many years, yes.
For many years.
Yes.
I thought this music is so demanding because it is so rich, so universal. And of course, it's an old music, very far from us. And it's a music that was written for instruments that I play only like an amateur, not professionally. So there were many reasons. But then since I started, more and more I feel the immense range of types of music that this universe gives you, the Bach universe, and the way how it constructs your life. It's a music that, even if joyful or despaired, really is so vital,
yes.
and so constructed. So afterwards you feel always somewhere a more accomplished man, and maybe even a better man.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes. What would be, maestro, the greatest virtue in a pianist, in a musician?
To be a good servant for the music. I don't know how to call this virtue.
Yes.
I feel for achieving good musical interpretations, one need to engage a lot of dimensions in the life. And for trying to give a good rendition of a masterpiece, one should really spend a lot for understanding, penetrating, absorbing this piece. So this requires somewhere a lot of time, a lot of gifts, and I think a lot of modesty somewhere.
Yes. When you play a piece, maestro, you are thinking just how the work affects your inner spiritual world, or you think in the same time how it may have affected the composer?
I think it's a conjunction
of those two, yes.
We try to understand which spark has initiated the compositional process and which cultural environment has brought many dimensions to the composer. But of course, we make music now and for the people who are present. So somewhere it's a kind of interaction between a historical heritage, instruments, rules, culture, etc., and circumstances, with acoustic circumstances, psychological circumstances, cultural also.
Yes.
That makes that the alchemy of interpreting is always different. Therefore, it remains interesting.
Yes.
We are not just copying 50 times a season the same action. This would be terrible.
When you play this concerto, maestro, how much is Beethoven and how much is Pierre-Laurent Aimar?
Well, if Pierre-Laurent Aimar is good, one will forget him quite a lot, I hope, but be in contact with Beethoven. But I don't know if it is the case. You know, Beethoven is very demanding, and It's very hard to know what's the appropriate interpretation. Look, you have great Beethoven interpreters today who give such contrasting, different renditions of this style. So where is the truth? Well, there are different, several truths probably.
Is it difficult, maestro, to be in the same time a soloist, professor, and the artistic director of the Auerbach Festival?
You know, I think a life should be interesting and not easy.
Yes.
I think, well, this is my position. And if you want a dense, a rich life somewhere, of course you have to give a lot. So yes, it is difficult, certainly, but it gives immense artistic satisfactions, of course, because one nourish the other. Well, to try to understand who is the right colleague for an event in a given festival with given themes, with given, requires, of course, an intuition that is extremely interesting. Or to make programs, for instance, for a festival of 2.5 weeks requires much more imagination than for doing them for yourself. So that's a good way to express yourself and to open yourself, to develop yourself.
My last question, maestro. What is, in your vision, the meaning of music and life?
I'm not a philosopher. I'm just a musician. So I have no answer for that. But of course, as every human being, I try to answer that with my choices, my actions, the way how I live every day. I try to give sense to my life, and sometimes it doesn't work desperately. And sometimes, well, it works because this world is so rich, it gives us so much, and I think if we receive these forces on the appropriate way, then we live with more sense.
Thank you very much, maestro. It was an honor for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much
for your excellent questions.